come no rats or maggots.
When this place was built, and it must have been highly secret, they would have purified it. Made sure it was hygienic from top to bottom, not a bug anywhere. If they'd been coming back to Earth through gateways, then they must have faced up to a serious risk of some kind of contamination. But they probably got that figured out. With cockroaches up here, they'd breed in no time.
Thank God for that. A tin box full of corpses is bad enough.
Dean pointed at a naked, blanched limb.
What killed him?
Mildred shook her head.
That's a woman, Dean. Long hair, broad hips, younger than the other one. There are no signs of what killed her.
Could it have been a massive malfunction of the air system? Choked everyone at once?
No. There would have been clinical signs. It had to be some sort of fast-acting disease.
Let's get off here, lover. Gives me the creeps.
Be good to try and find something out about it.
All right. But the sooner we get out of this revolving drum and back into the gateway, the happier I'll be.
The space station was surprisingly large. They finally found an observation port open on an upper deck. Abe was first to the immensely thick window, pressing his face against it.
Judas Iscariot, look at that!
There was another ob port farther along, enabling all of them to peer out into the swimming velvet blackness.
I have seen vids of the brave space travelers. I confess that I had never thought to be lucky enough to experience such a divine wonder for myself.
Ryan stared, wide-eyed. It was a wondrous sight, stretching out ahead, below, above, and all around them. The darkness was so utterly intense that it was almost invisible, sprinkled with hundreds upon thousands of stars, glittering like the brightest of sparkling diamonds. Christy placed her arm across Ryan's shoulders, pressing her cheek against his.
Where's Earth?
Probably behind us. We're in its shadow.
JB's multifaceted range of skills included a decent working knowledge of astronomy.
I'm not sure I recognize any of these constellations. How about you, John Barrymore?
Now you mentioned it, Doc. I can't either.
What are you two on about?
Just that this doesn't seem to be our own solar system. Isn't that a remarkable thing?
Oh, remarkable my ass. How do we get back home?
Same way we got up here, Abe. Don't worry.
A sliding sex steel door was marked, Bridge and Control Suite, Caution. Any force will meet maximum retaliation.
May the force be with us.
What, Millie?
Oh, God, why do I even bother?
I need Plastex to blow that. Probably blast us all into space.
Dean stepped forward and grabbed the polished chrome handle and pressed down on it.
No!
It was too late. But absolutely nothing happened.
Locked!
The boy turned to his father with an impish grin, jerking the handle up and down a few more times.
Leave it be.
Ryan glanced around and saw three corpses dressed in the cream, maroon, and black uniforms. The companions had encountered dozens of corpses during their trek. These lay together in a corner of the passage near another obport. The only difference about this trio was that they'd obviously decided to commit suicide and had blown away most of their heads. The armorer had glanced at the weapons after they found the first corpse.
Standard Smith & Wesson 9mm automatics. Been repaired here and there.
Let's get out of this floating meat locker.
Dad!
What?
I heard something.
What?
Sort of a hissing noise.
It's the door. Must have been unlocked all the time.
The massive slab of titanium steel was beginning to move slowly and ponderously into the air. There was already a gap beneath it of 7 inches. Then 10 inches. A foot.
Everyone back!
The door continued to climb, showing the floor of a brightly lit room within. JB dropped suddenly to his belly and peered under it, shading his eyes with his left hand. His right hand held the 20-round Uzi, braced in front of him.
Looks like the main control area. I see one chill. No, two.
Christy shook her head.
Still can't sense any sort of life up here, lover. But the bad feeling is getting stronger.
The door stopped, fully open.
Dean, stay out there!
Ryan halted the youth in his tracks.
Don't move a single step. And keep watch back along the passage, you understand?
Sure.
It was the hub of the space station. Here, at its heart, the sensation of revolving was much milder than out on the perimeter. But the air was just as stale and thin. They filed in, looking around at this amazing world of high-tech wonders.
Anything you've seen before, Doc?
I was involved, as you know well, my dear Ryan, with Cerberus, which was, in its turn, a cog within the bureaucratic machine known as Over Project Whisper. This, in its own turn, was a tiny segment of what was known in the Pentagon as the totality concept. Wheels within wheels within, and littler fleas to bite them, and so ad infinitum, if you see what I mean. No, you probably do not see.
There were all sorts of control decks, all with lights, dials, and quivering liquid crystal displays. One of the corpses was that of an immensely tall, bald man. He must have been close to 7 feet, but even in life he would have been skeletally thin. In death, there was little but bone and strung sinews in the uniform covering. On the shoulders, there were 2 gold crowns, tarnished and dull. Abe pointed at them.
The skipper? Looks like he died at the helm.
The body was draped in a chair with padded arms in front of the main console. Mildred bent and picked up a small bottle.
Some sort of morphine. Whatever this last illness was, it looks like they knew it was going to take them all.
The other corpse in the control room was female, with a coarse mane of long blonde hair turning to silver gray.
Looks like she died of natural causes.
Unless she took some of the tablets.
JB had been prowling around, and he waved Ryan over to a small rack of pistols and carbines.
Nothing worth taking, but there's ammo. Boxes of 9mm and 38s. Help yourselves to them.
JB took some for the Uzi, while Ryan filled his pockets with spare rounds for the Sig Sauer. Christie's double-action Smith & Wesson 640 also fired 38s, as did Mildred's rare target pistol, the ZKR 551 six-shot revolver. Dean, who'd followed everyone into the control room, was already carrying spare ammo for his Browning high power. Abe had picked up an Uzi to match JB, but he hadn't yet used any rounds for it, so he declined the offer. Ryan threw one of the Full Metal Jacket rounds into the air, grabbed for it, and missed. He marveled at how it seemed to hang in the air, revolving slowly around its long axis, giving him ample time to make a second snatch for it and hold it safely.
JB, will the bullet go faster or slower?
Yes.
Some sort of files here.
Christie held up a dark blue folder.
Says the station was called the Enterprise. This is the captain's log.
Does it tell us what the last star date was? And everything about their mission to boldly go where no space station's ever gone before?
Let me look.
Ryan reached toward Christie and took the file.
What?
Doc jumped so much that his feet actually drifted clear of the floor for a second or two.
Cool. Do that again, Doc.
No security passcode has been received at Central Control for admittance to this room. You have 2 minutes to comply.
Ryan grinned.
Watch it, Dean. They'll be in to slap your wrist for this.
The lights all began flickering.
Non-compliance with security orders is a serious offense. Nearest armed patrol to bridge. Comp Order 9, now. Now.
Fortunate that all these security guards are now drilling to the beat of a different drum. Away in the marching band of the Lord of Chaos, Beelzebub.
Doc smiled.
Warning, intruders on base. Commence security countdown.
JB had finished methodically loading up with ammo, and he glanced across at Ryan.
Intruders on space station are given their last warning. Their last warning. Warning. Auto-destruct in operation at 90 minutes and counting.
Shit. Gonna blow us all with it. Let's go!
Ryan still held the blue folder he'd taken from Christie, and he glanced down at it.
Well, we've got an hour and a half. No hurry. We could get back to the gateway and make the jump in a whole lot less than that.
The stylized black lettering on the file told him that it was the log of the station for the previous 6 months. It was going to be amazingly interesting to see what he could find out about this uniquely secret establishment.
Maybe we ought to get out. Read that later, some other place.
Christie tugged at his arm, but Ryan was opening the thick file.
Self-destruct mode operating at 90, at 80, at 70, 1 hour and counting. This is not a practice drill. This is an actual self-destruct countdown. 50 minutes.
Fire blast. It's out of control. Let's go.
Clutching the folder under his arm, Ryan turned and sprinted for the sectors, everyone following at his heels. If it weren't such a dangerous moment, what happened would have been really amusing, like some old comedy vid with flickering figures tumbling and bumping into each other on a black and white staircase. The alteration in the force of gravity on the space station threw all of their natural reflexes off kilter.
Ah!
Shit.
Ryan overcompensated and banged.